Welcome back to the podcast, everyone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. How is everyone doing this week?
Not that they can answer us back, but...
I know, right? But they're saying, we are going through it like everybody else, Joe. It's rough energies.
Yeah, this fire energy, how is it treating you?
Listen, fire energy, first off, I realized, you know, of course I have a Leo moon, but I also have my sun in Capricorn is straddling the first house and the second house. So, Or I'm sorry, the second and the third house. So the point is, wait, that doesn't make sense. I have fire in my, in Capricorn. So,
okay, got it. Okay.
Good yes. God. I don't even know what I want to say, honestly, but so.
No, you just, is, we just talked about this recently, right? It's that, don't you have, Sagittarius is the ruler of the house that your Capricorn is sitting in, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes, it is. Yes. I'm sorry, because I was thinking of Aries, but I'm like, no, Aries is on the other side of the chart for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes. So I've actually really enjoyed this energy. I gotten amazing epiphanies and clarity, and although it was a little bit rough, mm-hmm. like around the 30th, the 29th, 30th. Damn, was there a transit that was going on at that time?
Not that I remember. I mean, I'm sure there was. There was always, right, something, but, right?
Like a big one.
I just don't remember what it was. I listened to the astrology podcast, because they'll do defined episodes on explicit transits as they're happening. Mm-hmm. If I'm feeling like a certain way.
That's the one you go to?
Yeah, that's the one I go to. Like, is this out of my control? Like, what's happening right now?
Dude, yeah. Link that in the show notes, because I would love that. I go to a website that will tell me about the transits, but they don't tell you. They just tell you what the transit is. Like, I know.
You know what I mean? No. Yeah.
You know, no. Then I got to look it up.
No, it's just the Nightlight Astrology podcast.
Okay,
they have they're on YouTube and everything. I mean, they're huge. It's a big undertaking, but I know I was listening to recently. They did an episode on the astrology of December, and let's see, what was the last one that I listened to before that was Pluto finishing up in Capricorn, and that's kind of like wrapping up what we talked about in our Pluto episode.
Did you listen to the December Libra forecast from Swimming Through the Void?
No.
Yeah, you're going to want to.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to want to listen to your, but because you're a Libra sun and a Libra
moon.
Okay. Yeah. Listen to the Libra. And then who is your rising?
Sagittarius.
Yeah, you're going to want to listen to Sagittarius and Libra.
Okay.
Swimming Through the Void. I listened to Capricorn and Libra, and I was like, oh my God, this dude is so tied in right now. And you can see it too on his face. Like when he's actually getting information in, you can see he like looks off to the side, and it's like I can feel it. That's how it comes in for me. You just sort of space out a little bit, and then it comes in. You can see it in his face, and I'm like, dude, you're hooked in right now.
Yeah,
Chucho.
Mm-hmm. It 100% is. Have you seen the movie Soul?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that, when they explain that whole thing about like when an artist like goes into the zone and all that, I'm like, 100%. Like even right now, like my head's tingly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to see it. I love that. I think that's why I like concerts so much. Yes. I love seeing artists perform.
Just because at their highest vibrational frequency.
Yeah. And also because it's rare that we get to see like in all the forms of art when people are like literally when they're tapped in. Because, you know, like if you are like ceramics or painting, all that kind of art, you see it after the fact, which I'm sure as they were creating it, they were tapped in. But with musicians, like you're actively watching it as like they're just inspired, and it's awesome.
It flows, because when I'm inspired and I'm creating a piece of jewelry, it's like I'll get this idea and then I'll ground back and I'm like, all right, now these are all the elements that I need and everything, because you know you have to, it's safety too with metalsmithing, but it's like a fluid art, like singing or writing or painting or where it's just you just sort of let your body take over. You know, it's just, yeah, it's really beautiful to see. So, it's a great video series to watch for your own sort of guidance from him, because he is so tuned in. But if you are a budding channel or psychic, watching him is a good way to see physically, like, what sort of state you go into when you receive information. That's just really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be a cool workshop to teach. Like a creative channeling, like tap in to something.
I love that. I mean, well, that's why we always have creative projects at the end of our retreats, is because when you're in that creative flow, that is what inspiration is. Inspiration, intuition, it's all the same thing. And it comes through your head, right? It comes through your crown, why your crown tingles and stuff. Yeah. It's a really cool, it's a cool feeling, and it's a cool topic. And We do need to talk more about that.
For sure.
What about you? How are you going through it?
I've been trying to be more supportive in the relationships around me, because I see like, you know, in family and close friends and people struggling with certain things. And like I was telling you, there was a drama with Sophia and all that. I'm just like, you know, just having that conversation that sometimes we outgrow relationships, we outgrow friendships, and that you're never obligated to stay friends with someone when they're not a good fit in your life anymore, or you notice things about them that just don't fit with who you are in this moment. But I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm trying not to worry about the things that I'm worried about. I've been doing a lot of gardening stuff, just because it's something that I have the ability to do, and it doesn't cost anything. Like, it's just my time, basically. And like, Mike's been working weekends, so I have, you know, all of Saturday and Sunday with more free time than I normally do, just because usually we will end up doing stuff together, or, you know, we're taking the kids places and stuff. But I really enjoy the, I'm obsessed with like the before and after. Like, the before and after has always been my driver when it comes to creative spaces. I like to see, to take a space, whether it's something that like just doesn't look right to me, or it's cluttered, or it's plain, and just transforming it into something else. That's where like I thrive. Yeah. So I've just been doing that with plants.
I love that. I just did that with a piece of jewelry the other day. I found a pair of earrings that were, I don't wear. They were banged up, and I turned them into a brand new piece of jewelry. And I was like shook. I was like, shut the fuck up. So then I made two more pair and I put them on my website. So they're there for sale, but it was just an old piece of jewelry. And I'm like, I'm going to transform this. That's probably what it is. It's about that transformative Sagittarius energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've been really indulging in that, because just like I said, I thrive in that.
So do you have a ton of green space in your yard where you get to do that? Or do you just take it up by – so there's a lot. So you have a lot of canvas to work with.
I do. And I've just taken it like one space at a time, because obviously the smaller the spot, the more manageable it is. Mm-hmm. But so I started – now I started with the front. I hadn't really done too much in the front. But there were just a bunch of plants that just didn't make any sense. It was like – bush and then flowers and then another bush and then everything's like, nothing makes sense. So I tore it all up, and then I'm doing only California native plants. So I did these really cool, they're called kangaroo paws, is like their fun name, not their you know,
their legitimate name,
not their species name. But yeah, they look like little kangaroo paws. They're cute, and they grow into like these tall, and they bloom these red flowers, and they're really pretty. So I planted a bunch of those, and some cactus, a San Pedro, and a few aloes and stuff. And and then I have to wait for it to grow now.
I love that. And that's so easy. I just posted today on my Facebook, my personal Facebook page, all of the fall rain season blooming flowers. And it's cool, because here, I think I said this last time, but here, Oregon, like, things, it gets wet and rainy and get green, and things start blooming, you know, and then they start dying off in the spring and summer when it gets hot. and that's the opposite of Michigan. So it's just cool to see these plants freaking bloom in like November, December, January. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? That's just not something I grew up with. So I love the West Coast plants and the native indigenous to this area.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing that it really does too is it helps with the environment. Yes. It helps to upkeep the insect, you know, world and bees and all that. So yeah, it's better than I've learned a lot along the way.
Yeah.
It's better than what I've done before. Yeah. I'm trying not to use like a whole lot of rock because that makes things too hot. Just really keeping it to mostly plants, even grasses. Grasses are better, like natural grasses.
Natural grasses, right.
Not the European sod stuff.
Do you have that in your yard?
Grass, I do.
In the front yard?
I do. It's what was there, you know, when we bought the house. And I am slowly removing it out of some areas as it's been dying out. I'll just kind of continue to let it die out and then cut it away and add clover. Because clover is a much better.
Oh, very cool. Well, plus in the summer, it probably turns freaking brown as can be. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, here too, it's so brown here in the summer. There's just no rain. It's actually really the perfect climate. Do you have any personal announcements or is there anything else that's going on?
I will have some events coming up in January. I know for the rest of December, I'm pretty much done.
Yeah.
I have my Etsy store is up. That's Franco Abode on Etsy. And I'm adding new items daily. I have a bunch of earrings that I made with Charlie's Feathers. So they're ethically sourced earrings.
I mean, and even really unethically.
Because he's a jerk. No, but I promise you I don't pluck my bird. Anytime he drops his feathers, I keep them. So I turn them into earrings. So I'm going to put those up.
Oh my God. I love that. I'm not wearing any of those. That bird's energy is toxic. Charlie just doesn't like me. That's why. I don't think he hates me. I just think he senses that I don't care for his antics, his bullshit. And he's like, I'm going to fuck with her.
Yeah. He does that to a lot of people.
See, he's mean. He is,
and he's too smart. Because the other day, Mike was like, it was the day that Mike was home from work, and he's all, "Oh, he hasn't attacked you in a while." And I'm like, "Yeah, no, he's been pretty good." 30 minutes later, if that, he comes after me, and I'm like, "You jinxed me. You jinxed me, and this fucking bird heard you." Oh, that's true. It's been a while since I attacked her. Let me do it now.
Yeah. So. Charlie's all like, "Fuck around, find out."
Exactly.
Thanks, anyway. Mike.
Yeah.
Thanks for not minding your own business.
Well, you know, I've been on this kick of trying to cut down on caffeine.
Yes.
So I've been working with this product called Magic Mind. And Magic it's a Mind. Little, yeah, it's a little green shot. It's called the world's first productivity shot.
How'd you find that?
So I found it. So it's available online on magicmind.com, but it's actually going to be available in stores at Sprouts supermarkets starting in January.
Okay, we don't have Sprouts in here in Portland, so I can go online.
Yes, you can go online. It's on Amazon too. They have it's available on Amazon as well. But the thing that drew me to it, as you know, is because it has mushrooms in it.
Oh, that, yes. Okay. Tell me more.
So there's cordyceps mushrooms, and those are good for energy. But the other ingredient that I was drawn to is a lion's mane mushroom. And lion's mane specifically is a nootropic. It's an adaptogen. So it helps to reduce anxiety and inflammation, while it also helps support cognitive function. So it's brain food.
Very cool. Very cool. And you found it to be effective and pleasant and enjoyable?
Yes. Yes, it's just a small shot. It's got a great taste. It's slightly sweet, but it's not. So it's not super greens. It's not like a shot of grass in your mouth.
Right.
Yeah. And I can take it every morning. I can drink it. I can have it like alongside my coffee or instead of coffee. So it doesn't replace coffee if you're not ready for that.
Well, yeah, that will not. I will not. No, I'll need my coffee. But it's nice to know that I could supplement this with my coffee.
Yes. So if you are looking for something to help with reducing stress, with focus and clarity, with adding more steady, calm energy into your life, I would recommend Magic Mind. And they are, for a limited time, doing a special discount for our listeners using our code esoterics20 on magicmind.com.
Nice. Esoterics20.
Yes, magicmind.com, guys.
Excellent.
Yeah. Do you have any announcements?
Yeah. So I do have some events coming up, but they won't. They'll have been passed by the time this drops. I have a 12-month tarot forecast class that I did electronically. I offered everybody electronically, so I'm going to do that in person at two places in Portland. But one thing that will be – so – first off, I went through and I simplified my menu of readings. I don't know. I have like 10 readings on there. And I'm like, why do I have so many readings? Like, and I don't even book all of them. You know, people basically want like 3 readings.
Yeah.
So I simplified my menu and I lowered the prices actually of Tetralogy. And I combined it with the Akashic Soul Blueprint reading. So if you book an Akashic Soul Blueprint reading, you're going to be booking a Tetralogy reading, which means I'm going to go into your numerology, astrology, and human design. So, and that was like a $300 reading. I dropped the price by like, I don't know, almost $100, I think. Not quite, but I dropped it a lot so that it's accessible, but it's a lot of work. So I made it worth my time.
Yes.
So I did that, and then I added a spirit guide mediumship reading, which I used Tarot and Oracle in. So I got rid of the Tarot and Oracle reading, but I lowered the price of the spiritual medium reading.
Okay.
So it's halfway between the spirit guide reading and the tarot reading that used to be. And then I have 2 soul agreement readings. You can get a soul contract reading just for you, because you want to know about your soul contracts with other people. And then I have another one that's 2 people, like a couple partners can come together. And then we do like, it's like a synastry reading in astrology. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is a business Akashic reading. I just simplified those. So if you go on my website, you can check that out. And then the other thing that I'm doing, back, you know, when I first started seeing clients, like way back in like, I don't know, 2015, 2016, every year I would do something called a personal year forecast, right? So I stopped doing them a couple years ago just because they're a lot of work. You know, I love to create reports and then I'm like all excited and then I launch them and then I'm like, after like, I get like, you know, a handful of bookings, I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. So it's the 5, right? So yes. I'm like, I'm not doing that. Well, what I've decided was I'm going to do personal year readings this year. I'm going to offer them to the groups all over Insta and Facebook, but I'm going to do them as video recordings, or not video recordings, audio recordings, so that you'll get them. So by the time you hear this, they'll be on sale. So go to my website, order yours. It'll be recorded based on, you know, your birthday, the personal year that you can look forward to. I'll pull some tarot for you, Oracle, all that good stuff. And then you'll have a nice little report that you can look back on. Or listen to throughout the course of the year. I'm not going to do them every month. I'm going to go by the personal year phase. Mm-hmm. There's 4 phases in a personal year. So that's pretty much it. You know, the timeless announcements that make it through the, you know, what do we have? We've like a 3-week lag,
yeah,
I think. Yes. Yeah. So anyway, what about you? What are your announcements? Did I already ask you that? I did. Okay.
I do have one last announcement. Ooh. That is the registration for our 2024 Quantum Consciousness Retreat for Healers, Mystics, Seekers, and Alchemists is now open.
It's open.
And spots are beginning to fill. So get your application in if you would like to take part. This will take place in Desert Hot Springs, California, which is located near Joshua Tree National Park. The dates are Tuesday, March 19th through Friday, March 22nd. Registration is now open and the cost of the entire week is $1,555, and with the option to make monthly payments to make it palatable for you.
You're going to spend 4 days in the gorgeous National Tree Joshua Park adjacent energy of Desert Palm Springs. Desert Hot Springs. I always call it Desert Palm Springs. You know what, y'all? I'm not even going to worry about it anymore. It is what it is. Y'all heard. I said what I said. Anyway, we're going to be doing some soul blueprint charting, casting, interpretation, manifestation. Basically, I'm going to teach you how to do your own tetralogy reading. We're going to work on some quantum manifestation, some quantum visualization. All of the practices that we're going to learn are going to be quantum. We're going to find out what quantum is. What is it? And how do we drop into that energy? Fearless is going to teach us how to do some dream work. And she's also going to teach us how to learn to facilitate, or teach us how to facilitate a healing circle so that you can take that back to your practice and incorporate that, because it's really important. Especially now the two energy that we're headed into in the next year, which has nothing to do with the personal year. It's the energy of receiving, that sort of thing. Okay. And then also she's going to give us some Karuna Reiki. And then we're going to do some meditations, one in the desert and one in the water. So, I mean, listen, you want to be a part of that weekend.
Yes.
So today, what are we going to talk about today?
Today, I want to try to help everybody make some sense of astrological aspects.
Excellent. That's always helpful because they're nonsensical sometimes.
So I'm just going to – I want to break it down so that this is like an Astro 101 basically. Nice. So that you can look at your chart, and when you see all these lines running through it, you're like, what is this? I'm going to help you kind of figure all that out today.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. So in astrology, an aspect is an angle that planets make to each other in the horoscope. And typically, they represent the relationship between two planets' positions as they are relative to each other. And before I get into the details of the aspects, let's just lay down the foundation of the astrological wheel. So it's a wheel, right? A circle. So it's made up of 360 degrees, and then you break that down into 12 houses. So each house, because we're dividing 360 divided by 12, each house is made up of 30-degree sections.
Yes.
And this, all of that, what this means is that at the time of your birth, at the exact time of your birth, each planet and constellation in the zodiac was located in a specific house or section of this wheel. And then each house has a ruling sign.
And the wheel is a snapshot of the sky in the moment that you were born. Yep. See, that's lovely. You know, one of the things that I wish when I had started learning astrology, that somebody had given me an astrology anatomy, right? And that's so important for perspective and just to get things straight. So I'm so glad that you're doing this. So hopefully it's helpful to people out there listening, even though we don't have visuals.
Yeah. Thanks for mentioning that. So because I'm creating this episode, I am also going to include two reference sheets so that you don't have to like write all this down after listening to this. I'm going to do one cheat sheet for the houses, and it explains what each house means or what it represents. And then one for each planet, including like the sign for each planet. So if you see like the little signs, you can actually understand what each one is and then what energy the planets bring. Nice. So before I start with our aspects, let's just kind of break down the houses real quick. Okay. Let's start with the first house. First house is beginnings, identity, your outward appearance. Second house, stability, money, self-worth. Third house, communication, thinking, community. Fourth house, home, security, family. Fifth, expression, creativity, fertility. The sixth house is health, organization, and self-care. The seventh house, relationships, partnerships, both romantic and business oriented. The eighth house is death and rebirth, sex and inner depths. Ninth house is expansion, growth, and wisdom. The 11th house is legacy, status, achievement. It's also known as your midheaven or your MC.
That's the 10th house, yes?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then the 11th house is originality, creative efforts, and friendship. And then the 12th house, ending, subconscious, and surrender. Also, just going to note that each house also has a designated house ruler, which I'm not going to cover because it's like a lot of information all at
once. But at some point, will you please? Because I was just reading about that. And I'm like, I need to know what this is.
Yeah. Yeah. You can kind of see. Okay, just as an example, the third house being communication, thinking, community, like that's usually attributed to Gemini. Yes. Gemini is a communication. Mm-hmm. Fourth house, home, security, family. That sounds like Libra to mm-hmm. me, but it's also Taurus. Mm-hmm. So,
and does it have anything to do with the planet?
So then it's also going to be affected by what planet sits in which one of your houses, right? Yes. So, for example, let's talk about the planets. So, before I give you this example, actually. So the planets, your sun is the sense of, so I know the sun is not a planet, but when it comes to astrology, we refer to it as a planet. Yes. Okay. Before someone comes in here and mm-hmm. corrects me.
Coming in sideways, like, hold on.
Hold on. No, we know it's not a planet. It's a star. We get it. But we treat it like a planet when it comes to astrology. The sun represents the sense of self, identity, individuality. Your moon, where your moon sits, is inner world, intuition, your emotions. Mercury is communication, information, thought processes. Venus, relationships, love, pleasure. Mars is energy, action, aggression, sex. Jupiter is luck, expansion, abundance. Saturn is structure, discipline, maturity. And Uranus, innovation, change, future-oriented. Neptune, subconscious, dreams, creativity, and then Pluto, which is what I talked about in my previous episode, spirituality, death and rebirth, transformation. So just as an example, let's say like your Venus, which again represents relationships, love, pleasure. If your Venus is sitting in, let's say, your third house, for example, then that would mean that like you're most likely like turned on by conversation. Yes. Like you need to communicate, like you like sexy talk, like, or like intellectual talk is like what turns you on. Like that's just as an example. So that's just to give you an idea of like how planets in certain houses would work. That's basics.
My Venus is in my fifth house, and I'm telling you what, my favorite thing to do is to have fun and adventure. Go on an adventure, go on a road trip. It's that five soul urge in me. Hell yes, it will lead to sex at the end of the night if you take me on a road trip to a hotel on the coast. Hell yes.
Now I gotta look at where, I don't know what house my Venus is sitting in. Let's see. Da-da-da. Oh, I have Scorpio, and it is in my 12th house.
Oh, so
dang. That's like, because that's a mystery too. Like 12th house is mysterious. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh. Yeah. So that makes sense because like I like emotional depth.
Yes.
Like if for a partnership, like I got to figure you out or at least work towards figuring you out. Like I want to know what makes you tick. Mm-hmm. Like what drives you? I want to know all your traumas. I want to know your past. Like I want to know everything about you and then decide like, yes, I like
right,
you.
Right, exactly. You're a slow burn, but it takes you a minute.
Yeah, it's depth, but I need depth. And if I don't have that, nah, mm-hmm. I can't. That's not for mm-hmm. me. Anyway, all right. So let's talk about the aspects.
Okay.
What are they? Okay. So there's a five different aspects that we're going to cover today. The first one is a conjunction. A conjunction happens when two planets are sitting with each other in the same sign or in the same house. Okay. So usually they're anywhere from 0 to 10 degrees away from each other. Oh. Again, we're looking at it from a wheel perspective. When it's an exact conjunction, meaning that the planets are 0 degrees away from each other, that's a very strong conjunction. And what this means is that their combined energies in that sign strengthen, whether that's for better or for worse, because there are going to be some planets that kind of don't work the best with other planets like Saturn, because Saturn's about structure, discipline, maturity. So if you've got Saturn sitting with your Venus, like that means that you need, it might be, you might need a lot, like you might need a lot in your relationships. Like you have a lot of structure required or discipline, like you need consistency with your relationships. So when these planets are conjunct and their energies are blending, it also amplifies the themes associated with the planets and the sign that they're in. So again, if a person has Venus next to their sun, that says that it'll significantly influence their personality. For example, for an Aries, the Venus next to their sun would be profoundly different than an Aries who has Mars, and because Mars is also ruled by Aries, they would be very different for someone who has Mars in next to their sun versus no planets in their sun. Just and as an example. So while conjunctions, they're normally thought of as favorable, it also, like I said, depends on the planets that are involved. So you're going to want to look at that as well.
Right.
Okay. Overall, though, all conjunctions, even the challenging ones, serve a purpose in the life of a soul. They always help us grow, they help us learn, and they give us certain traits and skills that are uniquely valuable to our journeys here.
I love that. That was a great explanation. Thank you. Because again, in my mentorship, I did not get any of this basic stuff. This is stuff I had to learn on myself. So hearing you sort of reiterate that is like, it helps clarify. So hopefully it's helping someone else out there too.
Okay. And the next one is an opposition. So oppositions mean that they're 180 degrees, like opposite, right? Opposite from each other. So sometimes we think like opposites attract, but do they? Depends.
I have energy.
So it can go either way. When two planets are in opposition to each other, this occurs when they're on the opposite sides of the zodiac wheel. So for example, Aries is opposite to Libra. Mm-hmm. They're six signs away from each other. And then Taurus forms an opposition with Scorpio and so on and so forth. They're the ones that are six signs apart. These signs are so different from each other that they can sometimes bring out the best in each other and sometimes the worst.
That's what we were just talking about in the last episode with the Gemini full moon, how the sign that was across from that is bringing out the best. Remember that?
Yes. Exactly. And whatever happens, it's the whole point of it is a learning experience. But that's what an opposition is.
I like that.
That one's pretty simple. Okay. Then a sextile. A sextile occurs when two signs are 60 degrees apart. So when two planets are in favorable elements, so each planet also has its element that it belongs to. So like air and fire, earth and water, right? So if you have two favorable elements like air and fire, like you can't have fire without air, and earth and water, like earth and water are also complementary to each other as well. That would create a very chill, friendly aspect. And it would allow people to relax and get along like in that way. However, the sextiles have a little more oomph to them. So these are ways to show you kind of how your talents, it's to remind you of your own talents and your tendencies. Sextiles are also about communicative and relationship friendly aspects. So they point to energies that are capable of being directed. Sextiles reveal the potential for an intelligent use of the energies.
Okay, good. Nice.
All right. And then a square. So a square is not the best thing. Okay. Just like square dancing is kind of lame.
Nice analogy.
Yeah. That's how I remember it. Like square dancing, lame. Squares are 90 degrees, right? You can't make a square without 90 degree angles. Okay. So this is also considered one of the more unfriendly angles. This is when two planets are at a 90 degree angle from each other. It creates a hard aspect. So this can produce a lot of drama or intense conflict. But this tension is necessary sometimes in order to stimulate action. But also too much tension sometimes translates to stress.
God, I feel like I hate squares. Anyway.
Do you have a lot of squares?
Dude, yes. You know? I do. Oh. And I even have I believe it's called a grand square or grand.
Oh.
In my birth chart too. So
I'm going to get into at the end. I'm going to talk about what it means when you have a lot of one thing or if you don't have any at all. So
okay.
I'll cover that too.
Okay.
So yeah, the planets involved in a square are acting at cross purposes. So even though the squares bring us challenges, it can also force us to deal with uncomfortable issues in order to overcome them. Again, every challenge helps us grow.
Yeah, Saturn.
And then we have a trine. A trine is at 120 degrees. So this is when two planets are about 120 degrees away from each other. And despite the distance, it's a very lucky aspect. It brings a period of luck, harmony, positive changes, and good vibes.
Oh, I like that.
A good way to know if two planets are in trine is if they are in the same element, like, again, water, earth, air, fire. So now it's, what if you have a predominance of any of these in your chart? Okay. If you have you have several conjunctions in your chart, which I know I do, they're not in the best areas, but yes, I have them. This creates focused people. They derive their motivation from within, and with not enough opposition, sometimes it's hard for them to see the other side or easily lose perspective. And then if you have a lot of sextiles, that means you're most likely to be a communicative person, creative, expressive. A lot of squares means crisis-oriented people, action-oriented, motivated, willing to tackle obstacles. They don't blindly accept things. That's definitely you. Because you're always like, no, tell me more, explain.
It's true. She knows me.
Energetic, strength of character, and will. Trines, a lot of trines, may mean an unchallenged person, but also talented, accepting, comfortable, complacent.
Dude, listen to my, because I got my chart up, right? Okay, so I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 squares in my chart, but listen to where they are. Shit. I'm like, who wrote this soul blueprint? Mercury square Mars, Sun square my ascendant. That's not a bad one. Moon square Neptune, Sun square Saturn, Saturn square my midheaven, my ascendant square my midheaven. Like, how the hell am I supposed to get anything done? And then Venus square Neptune. Okay, I've got some cool trines. I've got Mercury trine Uranus, Mercury trine Jupiter, Neptune trine Chiron, Venus trine Mars. I have a ton of trines, actually. I have more trines than anything.
Oh, so talented, accepting.
Yeah, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 8 oppositions. And then sextiles, I have like 1, 2, 3, 4 sextiles. But I'm going to be honest. Whenever I would look at this, I would be like, I don't know what the hell this means, right? And I would like Google it. But now I look at this and I'm like, dude, now I know what this means.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, lady.
Okay. Now, if you have a lot of oppositions in your chart, that means that you might be contradictory. You may seek balance in your life through relationships. You're insightful. You look for meaning in life. You might be inclined to project qualities onto others. You may be sometimes unfocused, a greater capacity for objectivity, and again, seeking growth through relationships.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds right.
If you lack aspects in your chart, so if you lack conjunctions, that might mean that you're scattered. You don't look within for answers, but you are flexible.
I have one conjunction.
Just one. Okay. And if you don't have any sextiles, you might be inclined to avoid creative pursuits or are less self-expressive and communicative. Lack of squares may also equal a lack of motivation. You may take the easy way out, avoid confrontations, mostly unchallenged, and you're a person of habits. Mm-hmm. Trines, not as balanced people, conflict-oriented, driven, and then lack of oppositions is subjective. You don't need partners to mirror yourself, self-contented, not as concerned about growing through relationships or broadening their perspective. They're very self-reliant.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. So what I'm going to include in this episode, I'm going to include the link for cafeastrology.com that will, so if you have aspects in your chart, it'll tell you, like, this is like a master link of, like, let's say moon, trine, Mercury or whatever. Like, it's all there. So you can look up each individual aspect in your chart because everyone's going to be different. So.
Yeah, everyone's going to be different. At astrocharts.com, you can create an actual transit report. But again,
okay,
it would be lovely if you could click on the transit and it would give you an explanation of what it means, but they don't offer that. So I have to Google it, or there's another site that I want to mention that's actually really cool. It's astrology.com. And it's a site map of all aspects and transits. So basically what you do is you choose your planet, you choose your aspect, you choose the other planet, and then you click learn more. And then it brings up this really cool explanation of what that means.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I do want to point out is when we're talking about these five aspects today, as they relate to your birth chart, these are fixed. Aspects are fixed, where transits are moving, right? Mm-hmm. They're interpreting the ongoing movement as planets as they continually transit through the horoscope. So that's when we talk about, like, right now, the Pluto moving out of Capricorn, that's a transit. It's an active transit. Mm-hmm. And so that's not directly related to the aspects as we're talking to today. Mm-hmm. But just so you know, that's another part of your chart to look at as well.
So aspects are in your birth chart, and transits are just, it's the algorithm and movement. The sky moving through your charts.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So that's where, like, I pinned a guide to my stories on Instagram. It was for the Libra eclipse. I did like a chart, like how to find out where the eclipse was hitting your chart. Yeah. But this guide is essentially useful for anything because it's how to look at your chart basically, right, and how to find like what house the thing is going to run through. Mm-hmm. And that's how we work with transits. Is transits, it's like, okay, if it's like I said, Pluto in Capricorn, you have to look at where Pluto sits in your chart. Mm-hmm. And then also look at Capricorn. Where is Capricorn in your chart? And then that gives you an idea of how it's going to personally affect you. And that's why, like we've mentioned before, there are certain transits that affect some people far more than others. It just depends on the planets in the sky.
Interesting. Chart.
And that's all I have for you today. I wanted to keep it like short and concise on this and not overwhelm you with a ton of information. But you can, like I said, download the PDFs of the houses and the planets on our Esoterics website. I'll link it in our show notes.
Nice. Thank you. That was very helpful because now I'm able to look at my chart in a different way, especially the one on astrocharts.com, because it gives you all of your aspects right there. It tells you exactly what it is. Thank you. That was awesome.
You're welcome.
Well, beautiful friends and listeners, that means that it's time to say goodbye. So if you enjoyed today's episode, please share it on your stories. Also, if you could share it on your reels, that would be great too. Subscribe, leave us a review, talk us up, hype us, be our hype people out there in the society. This helps us grow our podcast. And if we grow, that means the ability to do this work grows.
And thank you all for hanging out with us today. Stay mystical, magical, and don't let anyone tell you what to do. Not even Saturn.
No, or any transit that's sassy and bossy. Bye.